Matthew 22, we've read already or had read, and really here the Pharisees are trying to ensnare the Lord. The lawyer here asks a question, tempting him, and we're not going to really deal so much today with their purpose and their plans. They're focused on their analysis of the law, their divisions of the law, hundreds and hundreds of divisions and laws that they had extracted from the Mosaic covenant. And they're very proud of discussing and debating the relative levels and importance of these laws. And so they come to Christ and ask, what's the greatest law? But his response is not, do this. His response is, have this heart. He says, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So not do as primary, but love as primary. So this morning I'd like to speak on love as the key to the Christian life. Love is a key to the Christian life. Now, this has been abused a great deal by neo-evangelicals who say, you know, as long as I'm loving God and loving, you know, people, what I do really doesn't matter. And that's false. That's not true. Because the New Testament and Christ's preaching is full of what we need to be doing. So we have much to do. But the problem is that we tend to fall into I'm doing the right things, so I'm okay. That's true of believers and religious non-believers as well. One of the real struggles we have in New Guinea is all the religions there are, you do this, you're okay. You're baptized into our assembly, you're all right. You go to the church on this day, you've made it. And we know that's false regarding salvation. But I'm afraid that for all of us, there's a tendency to slide away from what Christ is saying, this is primary, slide away from that to, I'm doing the right things, I'm not doing the right things, I'm all right. So first of all, let's look at Christ's pronouncement of loving heart as a motive, a loving heart as a motive for all we do, as primary to the Christian life. First of all, look at verse 37, where we see that heart motive and not merely action is primary. The first law, the great commandment, is what? Verse 37, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Not do this, not go to this place on this day, not avoid this, but love the Lord. A heart motive, Christ is saying, is the primary thing about the law. Not doing, heart motive. This has been a problem throughout history, and you can see that in some of the parables. Turn to Luke 18 and look at this familiar parable of Christ regarding people who say, I'm doing the right things. I'm going to the right place. I'm okay. You're familiar with the story of the publican and the Pharisee who went to pray. Praying to God about what? Well, if you look at verse 11 and 12, this Pharisee is praying about what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. He's stating all of his actions. And he's believing, I'm okay, because I'm doing. Verse 11 of Luke 18, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. He's thanking God. Good, huh? Very good. About what? I'm thanking God that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Actions are sufficient for this man. You're familiar with the story of the rich ruler. Christ is talking to him. He's wanting eternal life. Christ talks to him about the law, and he says, I've done all these things from my youth up. Turn to Matthew 7 and see the last day, this thought, this process of doing the right things, making me okay, is going to be a real problem in the last day. Matthew chapter 7, Christ is talking about numbers of people coming before him and starting to talk about what? Look at all this stuff I've done. Matthew 7, verse 22. Many will say, not just a few, not an occasional one, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? He says what? Fantastic. No, he says, I don't know you. There is a lack in these people who are doing good things, proper things, right actions. There's a lack in their life. Christ is saying in Matthew 22, that's not primary. The doing is not primary. Primary is your heart motive, this love for God. Then look back at Matthew 22 to see the love in the heart is essential for all relationships. Now, this is good. We're going to use this morning because we more easily associate with those human relationships often. So Christ says in Matthew 22, verse 39, love God with all your heart, that's first. Then verse 39, and love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love men and women. And brothers and sisters, this is helpful because you have people you love. You have people who love you. And think about that. Think about what it would be like to just do for them. Not to show your affections, not to have a heart motive, just do. This last week we had the joy of celebrating my wife's birthday and my mom's birthday. And so, you know, in New Guinea, there's not a lot of opportunities to take my wife out to eat. And I'm a stay-at-home casserole kind of guy, and she's the go-out-to-a-nice-restaurant kind of lady. So it was her birthday, so we went out to a nice restaurant. And, you know, think about that. Why did I do that? I mean, I did the right thing. I took her to a nice restaurant. We had a nice meal. You know, we spent a lot of money. And that's good because, you know, average out over a four-year term, I only go out to eat once every 4 years with her. So, you know, not bad. It's a pretty good thing. But think if my heart was, oh, I've got to do this again. It's her birthday. Oh, I beg your pardon?
She's not here today.
She is here today. No, I said, think if I did it this way.
Oh.
Brother, you're going to get me in trouble here. Think if I came up and said, you know, yeah, it's my duty. She's my wife, so I've got to do this thing. Same action. We go out to a nice restaurant. We have a nice meal. There's no love. And that's a tragedy, sadly, today in many homes, that they're just going through the motions in their homes. They're married. They have the same house. They sit at the same table. They eat the meals together. They're going through these actions that are the right actions for married couples. But there's not that heart motive. And sadly, many of these families dissolve in disaster, and there's heartbreak. But think of our relationship to God. We're doing the right things. Good. You need to do the right things. But why? Are you doing this out of passionate love for God, or are you just doing it, going through the motions? It's interesting that in the Old Testament particularly, the failure of Israel to love God, to be associated with God completely, going after foreign gods, is described as unfaithfulness. You're not faithful to your husband. So we have these human relationships that can help us to understand, am I having this loving heart motivation that is driving me forward to do the right things, or am I just doing it because I'm a Baptist? I'm going to the right church. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. And I'm okay. The Lord doesn't see it that way. And you shouldn't. You should query your motive today. You should examine yourself today and think, am I doing the right things because I love God, or am I just doing the right things? Maybe some of you young folks, and that's getting to be more and more of you as I get older, maybe you young folks are sitting here and, you know, the Christian life isn't very exciting for you. It's kind of dry. It's kind of dull. You know, you have to do it. Your mom and dad makes you. You know it's right, but, you know, there's really not in it a lot in it for you. Think about those relationships you have with your friends. Is that exciting? Yes, it is. Maybe you're newly engaged, or maybe you're dating someone. Is that exciting? Absolutely. Why? Because there's a heart motive there that spurs you on. You love doing for them. You love being with them and talking to them. So if you're sitting here and thinking, well, you know, Christianity is good, and I know it's right, and we know the doctrines, and the Bible says it, and we have to do it. Examine your heart today. God wants you to be in that relationship with Him, a loving, passionate relationship that just drives you. Paul says that. The love of Christ constrains us. Why does Paul all right with just throwing away this great title, this position of a Pharisee? It's rubbish. Why? Going where it's cold, going where he's hungry, shipwrecks. It's nothing. Why? The love of Christ constrains him. Some of you have probably seen these areas where they load cattle on trucks. They bring in a triangle of rails to a loading ramp, and the cattle are coming in, and the rails are bringing them in and in and in to one single file. They're constrained. That's the idea of this word. They're constrained to go one direction. And Paul is saying, this love of Christ, and we know it's Christ's love for Paul, because in the following verses there in Corinthians, he's telling them of Christ died for him. Christ did this for me. And so Paul says, this is what really spurs me on. This is what directs my actions. It's the love of Christ. And God wants us to have that passionate, loving relationship. That is primary, not actions. And then look back at Matthew 22 and think about the deductions from these verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. If I don't have this, I need to understand my Christian life is lacking. It's lacking. I'm not all right. You need to sit down today and think, I am not all right because I'm doing the right things. If I don't have that primary loving motivation, I'm lacking. Christ sees me as lacking. Turn to Revelation 2, a letter to the church from Christ. Christ is dealing with these seven churches in Revelation. The first letter Christ gives to the church is a letter to a fantastic church. They're doing the right things. This is a great, you would join this church. Look at all that they're doing. And Christ has acknowledged that doing. Now, he doesn't just discount that. That's important, as we said. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor. They're laboring for Christ. Thy patience. And thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. So they're evaluating people doctrinally. They're doing the right works and labors. They're passionate, or they're very engaged in their works and efforts. He continues on, verse 3. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, and hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Christ says, great. You're doing great work, and I appreciate that. But you have left, you have departed from that passionate heart motive you had before. So he challenges them, return to that. And that's the challenge this morning. Evaluate your heart motive. Now, the great thing about this, folks, is I have no idea what your heart motive is. You're doing the right things. You're here this morning. That's good. So this is not my condemnation. I have no idea whether your heart motive is passionately loving God. You need to evaluate your own self. This is universal, too, because everyone in here is at some degree or level of loving or not loving God. It's not just on or off. You can grow and develop that loving relationship just like you do with people. You can ignore and harm that relationship just like we do with people sometimes. So Christ is seeing this great church and saying, you're doing great things, but you have left your first love. Your love is lacking. You need to reevaluate. You need to bring this back into the relationship. And folks, that is what the Christian life is. It's a relationship. It's not a list. It's not do and don't do. It's being bound with the living God, bound with Christ, one in a relationship. And so love is the primary. Love is the number one. So Christ pronounces this loving heart motive. And think about this too. He quotes from Deuteronomy 6. This is the Old Testament status too. This is every relationship that God has with man is a loving relationship that he desires. And folks, the blessing about that is everything God does in your life, he's doing out of love for you. Everything. He blesses you out of love. He doesn't just give you things because that's the way God is. God gives you and blesses you because he loves you. God chastens and convicts you because he loves you. Everything comes out of the wellspring of love of God's heart to minister to you. And God is saying, this is what I want from you too. This is what I want with you, this loving relationship. So in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, 5, number one, love God. Yes, the law of Moses had many commandments, but they need to come out of a love that says, God, I love you. I'm glad to do this for you. I'm glad to obey you. I want to do what pleases you. So different from just dry routine. This is what we have to do because we're Baptists. We're Christians. We don't go to those places. We can't do those things. What a dry, lifeless walk. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be joined to him in fellowship and love. We need to go ahead and move on to the second point, which is fairly short, and ask or look at what diminishes that. You know, we looked at Ephesians the church in Ephesus, they started here, loving Christ, doing the right things out of motive of love, and then they moved back away from that to doing the right things alone without that motive, without that passionate love. How did that happen? What are the things that diminish a loving heart in the Christian life? And I would have to say, number one, it would be displacement. Displacement. Something moves in that brings a displacement and pushes out that love that we had before. Turn to 2 Timothy and see that this is a primary problem in the last days. This is huge. And I believe, really, we are experiencing this to a large degree at this point. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have this statement about the last days being savage. Perilous times, savage seasons is another way of really thinking about that phrase. And how will men be in these last days, in these savage seasons? Verse 2, lovers of their own selves. I don't love God because I love myself too much. Or I love him a little bit. You know, Sunday morning, it's okay. I'm good with that. Lovers of themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We see that today. We see a lot of that today. You're for good, you're despised. But he goes on in verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Not action, affection is displacing the love of God in the heart. What kind of pleasures? I believe many professing believers today are lacking in a passionate love for God because of their love of sports. Now again, I don't know you folks, so if that convicted you, I didn't know you and say that. This is a great thing about being a guest speaker. You can't come to me and say, where'd you hear it? What'd you hear about me? I heard nothing about you. Lovers of sports. Now, sports are great. I like a good game of football or whatever. But do you love that more than you love God? That's wrong. That's just wrong. Lovers of relationships, other pleasures, material things. In America, I mean, we are so blessed with material things. It's just incredible to see, you know, come back after a couple years and being in the bush in New Guinea and seeing the standard of living there and come back and see all the stuff that is here. And God gives us all things freely to enjoy. I'm not knocking the Lord's blessing on this country materially. That's wonderful. And in the world, it's pretty rare, actually. But has that displaced God in love for him? Are you so tied up in this kind of thing? $1,000 phone, I've heard. I don't understand that at all. That doesn't even register with my mind. $1,000 phone. Pleasures, things. Matthew 6, I'd ask you to turn to that. Matthew chapter 6. Very interesting, this very familiar phrase or verse in the Sermon on the Mountain. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. So we think, okay, serving two masters. And we would think, okay, so now he's going to say, if I'm working at one job, I can't do another job. I'm serving one master. I don't have time to serve two masters. I can only serve one. He's talking about serving, doing actions. But then he just switches that speech in the next phrase and says, for either he will hate or love. The heart emotion is the issue in serving. I can't do both. If I am enthralled with the things and the sports and the pleasures of this world, that's going to displace and push out the love of God. And then he switches back to serving in this verse. So it's just a mix. These actions and affections, they go together. You can't have both. Primary, loyal love to God. Displacement of affection. Another thing that diminishes our love, moving on, is just that shifting of focus. As we mentioned already, as long as I do the right things, and moms and dads, you really need to be dealing with your children about why we're doing this. We don't do this because this is the law, this is the right rule, this is the thing. Now, we do have rules, of course. We do have things we need to do. But we need to be directing our minds and the minds of our families to think, I'm doing this because I love God. I'm doing this because I want to serve and please Him. Not just because that's what we do. So we have these many, many things around us and in us that would just diminish our love, the passion for God. Let's finish with developing the development of a loving heart motive in Christian love. Number one, meditate on God's love for you. Meditate on God's love for you. 1 John 4:19. We love Him. Why? That's why we love Him. That's something that stirs up our affections. That's something that preserves us and prevents us from being going through the motions in our Christian walk and life. I consider God's love for me to the point that He sacrifices Christ for me. For Michael Bourbon. You need to make that personal and individual like Paul did in Galatians 2:20. He loved me and died for me. Consider and meditate on His love. I've mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul says this love of Christ, it just hems me in. It directs my life. It constrains me. That's why I do what I do, because I love Christ. He loves me and I go the right way. Based on that love for me. Commune with God constantly. I don't know if any of you folks have this problem. You get up in the morning. You have a time of prayer and reading the Word. I hope you do. And man, God just blesses you and ministers to your heart. And you're excited about what you've read. And you're praying with God and communing with Him. And then what happens? You're back in the fast lane in America. This society is crazy. I love New Guinea. I love New Guinea. There's only one word to describe society in America. Frenetic. It's just nuts. I'm serious. I feel sorry for you folks. I really do. You know, you step out the door, you go into work, you have these appointments, you have this with your kids, you got to go to this place, you have all these things to do and go, and wow, where did God get left behind? A communing with God. Now, you can't do that with your wife if you're a man because she's somewhere else. But you can do that all day with God. Amen. You can talk to Him. You can hear Him. You can think on Him. You can thank Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, communing daily, constantly with God. And then consciously doing out of a motive of love. In missionary work in the bush, I have to do a lot of things that seem to have nothing to do with missionary work. cut firewood, work on your car, fix this, weld that. There's a lot of just stuff to do in a bush environment. And I tell sometimes when we're working together with nationals, I tell them, you know, we need to stop right now and think about why we're doing this. Because I can weld the car just because I need to weld the car. Or I can commune with God and weld the car out of love for God. I can cut firewood, loving God. I can do everything I do, glorifying and loving my Lord. But it takes conscious effort, because it's easy just to go out and cut firewood. It's easy just to go out and weld the car. Well, it's not easy, but you have to do it anyway. Just doing these things, I come to church, I sing in the choir. Whatever you're doing, you have to bring your mind to think, I'm going to do this, Lord, because I love you. I love you. I'll do it for you. What a difference. I mentioned God loves you passionately all the time. He never changes, even in your failures. Will you evaluate today your heart motive? And again, it's not on and off. Where is that love? Is that love for God growing, developing, increasing? Or are we today like the Ephesians? It's slid back. It's a little bit cold. It's not what it used to be. And that's really the easy evaluation. Is my love today as high or higher than it whatever it was in the past? This is what God desires. This is why God saved you who know the Lord Christ and have believed him. He has brought you to be his own, to have that loving relationship. And friends, that will just change everything in your life. A relationship, passionate love for God, bringing me to desire and want to do. When we came back from New Guinea this trip, I was thinking about Jan's birthday and I thought, this is great. I can take her out to eat this time. Not too many good places where we live, you know. You have to watch the food there and the water. But I can do this for her. It's not drudgery. It's not, I have to do it. I enjoy it. I'm glad to. And we can have that same attitude. We can have that same joy about coming together and meeting, doing for the Lord. They're asking for people to help in the jail ministry. And I don't know if they have a lot of people or they have enough or not. But you could decide this morning, God, I'm going to do this because I love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to help serve the meals there, whatever you can do. Number one, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, not this half-half, kind of, sort of, a little bit, with all your heart. This is the first and greatest commandment.